Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
You know how our mind works and how the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy has fiery darts, and we take the shield of faith. Okay, which quenches all the fire of everything God's given us, all the armament God's given us. Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. Those fiery darts are thoughts. And it's interesting because the devil tries to deceive us into wondering and worrying what people are thinking of us. And you know, most time people aren't thinking of us. Okay, we're not that big a deal usually. But the enemy tries to deceive us, and the next thing you know, man, we'll get all obsessive about what people think of us or what they think of what we're wearing or what they think of how our hair are just trivial things like that. And I just want to announce to you tonight, I'm going to prove it tonight in God's word. How many of you guys love it when God's word proves how much he loves us, proves how much he cares for us, proves how much we are overcomers? But you know that God doesn't ever have a negative thought about us. God's never had a negative thought about you. Yet the Bible says he is constantly mindful of you. Man, God's thinking of you right now, and he's never had a negative thought about you. He isn't ever going to hold your past against you. How many of you guys, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys feel guilty about your past and you have regrets in your past? And, you know, you'll watch a movie, and there'll be an old guy he's on his deathbed, and he'll say, I have no regrets. Well, that's how we all want to live our lives. But do you understand that God holds nothing in our past against us? No matter what we've ever done, no matter what we've ever said, no matter what's ever happened in our life, as heinous a past as you could ever have, near past, distant past, whatever it is, God's never going to hold it against you. He's never going to bring it up to you. I might take a horn of that. And if you guys grew up in the 60s, you know a horn's a couple swallows. My granny Lyda owned a tavern, and so I knew what a horn was by the time I was about 5 years old. God bless Granny now, tonight, in Jesus' name. She's like 95 or 6 or something, and just won't die, will she, Sandy? We went and saw her. No, she won't. I'm not kidding you. She's like, I don't know why, I just don't go to heaven. My knees are bothering me, my hips are bothering me. And Sandy's there, and Sandy's going, because we all love you. She goes, oh, bullshit, like that. I'm like, maybe God's looking to clean some things out of her heart before this, she goes, you know what I mean? But she's found three exotic birds. Had anybody in here ever found an exotic bird? No, just found one. I'm not saying bought one at a store, but found one. My granny Lila's found three, like a couple of them are like these, they talk to you and they look at you, they glare, they mean mug you and stuff. And you go into their house and you're like, dear God, what was that? And it's these big, colorful birds. She's found three of them. Just found them. I said, where'd you find them? She said, oh, I was over in the Kentucky Fried Chicken parking lot, and I saw it crawl. No, it crawled up beside her car. I said, what'd you do? She said, I just picked it up, and I put it in the car, and I brought it home. Another one flew into her back door. Had any of you guys had an exotic bird, like from South America, fly into your back door? That's my granny Lila, and she's just too mean to die. And that might be scriptural somewhere. The Bible's full of people that live for a long time. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 40, verse 5. God doesn't have bad thoughts for you. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. His thoughts are wonderful toward us. And it's going to get better than this, I'll tell you. They can't be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the whole idea of this. If you look at Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts or the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. I'll tell you, we've got to be people that we're living our lives like up in the balls of our feet. We're not living on our heels anymore. Why? Because God's got plans for us. His thoughts for us. Good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. Man, some of you guys might say, well, but I'm uneducated and I don't have a career, and man, I'm too old to do this, or I'm too young to do that, or I've never had anything. Nothing ever works out for me. I've never won the lottery. No, let me just tell you, man, the life that God's given us, the promise that God's given us, is better than winning the lottery. Man, understand that. Man, he'll not withhold any good thing from us. Why? Because we're sons now. Man, we're no longer just servants in God's house. We're sons. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Man, our daddy owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Man, nepotism in the kingdom comes into play, and we're his sons now. And you look at it, when we have that, man, his plans for us. Man, God's got a plan for my life. I want to be about that plan. I want to fulfill the call that's on my life. Anybody with me on that? Man, we live our lives on the balls of our feet. In Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Remember, Psalm 40, verse 5 said, they're more than can be counted. This one says, how great is the sum of the precious thoughts that God has for us. Why? Because he sees us as invaluable. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, now this is important. When I awake, I am still with you. Man, so many people, man, we dread what we've got to do tomorrow. We dread what's coming up, or we dread. Listen, we're on trial. And if you've ever been a part of a court case, man, you know, I've never gone to court, but you know what? If you go to court and the court comes up tomorrow, man, you're probably a little anxious. You're probably a little antsy. Man, you might have a hard time sleeping. But you know what? That's not what the word says here. Man, what does the word say? Man, the word says how precious are the innumerable thoughts that you have for me. When I awake, I'm still with you. You know what God's word promises? Listen, God's word promises, write this down. His mercies are new every morning. Brand new. You're not wearing God out. Your lifestyle, your habits, your bad habits, they're not wearing God out. God's not holding anything against you. You may have lived the most unhealthy life that anybody's ever lived, and you know what? He sent his word to heal you and to deliver you of your, listen, self-destructions. Deliver you of how you've lived. See, what there's a natural law that comes into play, and there's a spiritual law behind it, that you reap what you sow. And you might be thinking, yeah, but I've sown so much bad. No, whoa, time out. His mercies are new every morning. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you of all your self-destructions. So his thoughts that he has for you, they're good, not evil. Man, his thoughts, he looks at you, he has precious thoughts toward you. You know, you'll never live beyond what you believe about yourself. I talked about this Sunday morning. I think so many people are limited by their affections. You got affections, and you're thinking those affections are good things, and they're not. The carnal affections that you have in your life, the thoughts that you think, the dialogue, the inner conversation that you have with yourself. You know, it's interesting because I do a weekly video devotional for football programs, and I looked at the one that was sent out yesterday. I said, man, send that to me. I want to see it. And because I shot them like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you know what? The one today, I said something and it ministered to me, even though I said it 2 weeks ago. It said, you know what? Some of you guys need to fire your coach. And that means that inner coach that's in your head, that coach that's driving you down, that coach that's telling you you can't succeed, that coach that's going to tell you that you'll always have a comma in your credit card account and you'll never have a comma in your bank account. Well, let me tell you, those days have to end. Man, we're the head and not the tail. Isn't that right? We're above only and not beneath. Isn't that right? Man, we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens me. I'll tell you what it's time. It's time for us to flip the script. It's time for our credit card account to be paid off every month and our bank account to grow every month in the name of Jesus. Anybody with me on that? See, we've got to be that people. Man, we've got to look at it and not say, yeah, let's just put it on the card, or yeah, we'll just pay for it later. No, we're going to be disciplined. Man, we're going to be men and women that of faith and trust God. And begin to live beyond our current situation because we can believe beyond it. I'll tell you, this is something, there are a few things that I believe that I've mastered and that Sandy and I have mastered in our lives. And one of which is the money we make has never determined the life that we live. You know, it's interesting because there was a guy at church this past weekend that was one of our neighbors in the first, we lived in a duplex at 71st Memorial behind the coat factory or whatever it is, Burlington Coat Factory, okay? And we lived in a, and it was a little sketchy and shady back then. That's years ago. I mean, if you live there now, it's probably the Taj Mahal now, but probably not. But you might have rose tinted glasses. But back then, we lived there and didn't have any furniture for a long time because the trucking company we hired to bring our furniture from California, our priceless heirlooms, took it to Sacramento, California, instead of Tulsa, Oklahoma. How do you confuse that? Fire the dispatcher, whatever you got to do. And then you know what? Our furniture didn't get here when it was supposed to get here. So, of course, I got on the phone and I called them and they said, no, that went to Sacramento. And I said, well, it needed to go to Tulsa. And the guy said, yeah, I see that, but you're going to have to pay for the storage of being in Sacramento and then pay for the trip. Because it's only paid for one trip. We went to Sacramento, not to Tulsa. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The amount was worth more than the furniture was worth. What did Sandy? We're like, well, keep that stuff. Those priceless heirlooms. But no, you know what? It took about a month to get it. So we lived in that duplex. Who knows what could have been on that carpet? I've got germ issues now. I wouldn't have laid on that carpet now. But then we slept in front of the fireplace then. It was a winter time. Brooklyn was a little baby, so she didn't know any different. Taylor was a toddler. We thought it was an adventure. And I remember laying there in front of that fireplace in January of 1990 thinking, what have I done? God, this move, I'm really hoping it was you, God. I'm really hoping I'm not supposed to be in Sacramento with my furniture, but I'm in Tulsa on this nasty duplex carpet floor at 71st Memorial. But you know what? Man, I'm telling you, we didn't know we didn't have much. We lived like we were children of God. We lived like we were sons of the Most High God. And see, our God, this God that has good thoughts of us, do you understand he's El Shaddai, he's El Elyon? See, God doesn't refer to himself as just God. He refers to himself, and you should write this down. He refers to himself as the Most High God. The Most High God. And he doesn't withhold anything from us. See, understand that. Understand that God's love for you, that when we come to God's love and what God thinks of us, it's broader, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider than we can see, than we can comprehend. And understand this, nothing can separate us from his love. And you'll say, yeah, but I used to be a thief. Yeah, used to be is the key point there. Yeah, but the things I have done, yeah, you know what? But the things you have done because of the grace of God, the blood of Jesus covers it. See, what's awesome about this forgiveness that God gives us, and this goes with how God thinks, God's thoughts toward us. But this forgiveness that God gives us, he doesn't just forgive our sin. But see, and the way God does anything is the way God does everything. He doesn't just forgive it. He does forgive it, but that's not the end of it. He forgives it and he remits it. And see, the business term, when we remit something, we absolve that contract, like if you remit a marriage, you annul a marriage. It's like it never happened. It's like your record. There's people, it's like, okay, you're going to go on probation for a year, and if you don't do anything for a year, we're going to expunge your record. We're going to remove that from your record. It's like it never happened, the crime that you might have committed. Well, let me tell you, because of the price that Jesus paid, and this goes to the thoughts that God has for you. This goes to how important your thought life is and how you live your life. Because you know what? Man, I'm looking at people now, and I'm kind of struck with the hurt that I know that you've gone through in the last few years, maybe. But let me just tell you, man, God's given you a future and a hope. Man, you've gone through things, but the key thing is you've gone through it. You might be going through hell right now. Let's not tap the brakes. Let's get out of it. Let's move on. Let's go to higher ground here. Let's elevate our lives. But the thoughts that God has for you, let me tell you, they are immersed in love. That's all God thinks of you. And the love that God has, see, there's different kinds of love. There's a physical love, there's an emotional love, there's a brotherly love, and there's a godly love. And that godly love is an agape love that is unconditional. See, we look at God's promises. There's some people that get healed, but God's promises are all conditional. You know, you look at the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there are letters that are written to seven churches. And you know, we ought to do a study about that. Maybe next summer we'll have a second mile course on the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. But what's interesting about them, they all carry a different promise. That you'll sit with me at my table, that you'll partake of the tree of life. There's all these different, each of them have a different promise. But all of those promises have the same condition. And that condition applies to what I believe the promise of God in our lives. To he who overcomes. Write that down. To he who overcomes. That's where the promise lands for us. You're wondering why you're not exceeding in your finances or in your health or in your marriage or in your career or your job. Well, it's because what you have to do is you have to be determined in your heart. You have to have the thought life of an overcomer. Man, write that down. The thought life of an overcomer. That's how this works. Some of you guys say, well, I just can't quit drinking. You know, there's a guy, and he might be here today, so I'm careful where my eyes go in case I don't want to be too obvious. But there's a guy that came up to me. I said, man, it's amazing how much you volunteer here, and it blesses my heart how much you volunteer. He said, man, I love it here. And I said, man, I love that you love it here, because man, I've got one of my special love languages, acts of service. So it's like, man, those acts of service, man, you're like, I want you to move in next door to me. He's a lawyer. He's got a big house. You can live with him. But my neighbor, he lives next door to me. But he said, yeah, if I'm not here, I'll just go get a case of beer and I'll drink 24 beers today. You might have somewhat of an, it's not he's having a beer and a steak. He's not having a six pack. He's drinking a case of beer if he's not here. And I'm like, you know, it's great that you're here. It's great that you're here and you've got these acts of services. That's my love language, because I'm going to high five you every dadgum time I see you. But see, you've got to look at it that what you've got to do is him being here. You know what that's doing? That's him taking the steps to overcome. Him taking the steps of an overcomer. Listen, write this down. You have to do something. You have to do something. And you know what? Don't give me that baloney that, well, we're not human doings, we're human beings. I could sit in my Barco lounger and get by. No, you can't. You've got to rise up. You've got to get up. Man, some of you guys need to forgive somebody. Some of you guys need to give. Some of you guys need to find somebody you don't know and just say, God, what should I give them? And just give them something. Some of you guys, see, that's how you make room in your life. That's how you give room in your life for God to operate in your life. Man, some of you guys can't overcome because you're just full of all this weight that the world gives you. See, the whole idea of overcoming is we get in a place where we can run. We can get out in front of sickness. We can get out in front of poverty. Man, you guys here, and I have a word of the Lord for you. You guys here that are living month to month and paycheck to paycheck, it's not the will of God. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to browbeat you over it. I'm not going to make you feel bad over it. I'm just telling you, God has better for you than you just to get by. Man, the Bible says that your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow. Man, plenty and overflow. Increase and overflow. Write that down. That's God's will in your life, is increase and overflow. And that's the thoughts that God has for you. God's thought life is increase and overflow. See, all God wants to do is bless. That's all God wants to do. God cannot curse you. All God can do is bless you. And when God's blessing is upon your life, when God's blessing is upon your life like this, let me tell you, that comes with his grace as his blessing. When his blessing's on your life, the enemy will come in, a curse will try to come into your life. And you know what? It can't. The Bible says this, a curse causeless has no effect. A curse causeless, listen, when God's blessing's on your life, you live without God's blessing, I believe you're prone to the curse. But when God's blessing's on your life, when you've taken that step to get under God's blessing, within arm's reach of God's blessing, what happens? That curse comes in, and the Bible says that curse causeless has no effect and has to turn and go back to where it was sent, from where it was sent. So man, you want to fight the devil? Man, if you really do, you don't have to yell and scream. You don't have to get in a corner and beat your head against a wall. No, you know what you've got to do? You've got to allow God's blessings into your life. You've got to position your life for God's blessing. So when the enemy sends a curse toward your life, then it has to flip and it goes back upon him. See, that's how you defeat the enemy. What he meant to be bad for you goes back on him. See, and this all goes with how we know God thinks of us. But we never live beyond what we believe about ourselves. Man, if I'm thinking, I could never do that. No, that never happens for me. Man, I just tell you, if you're here and you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years old, you have had multiple ideas that if you just would have believed God and acted upon that, you'd have money stacked up in your accounts. I'm just telling you, you got to believe, listen, not in yourself, but believe in the work that God's doing in your life. Is God doing a work in your life? You got to believe in that. You got to believe that as big a mistake as you've ever been, when you position yourself in God's grace and you're in his word and you're in prayer and you're in church and you're serving, and yeah, it's all those things where it's like, yeah, I've heard that all my life. No, it's simple, just four simple things. You're in the word, you're in prayer, you're in church, and you're serving. Okay, there's more that come after that, but if you're not about those four things, I don't know that I can help you. You gotta go to somebody better than me to be able to help you, okay? You might need some inner healing, you might need to go back to your childhood. I'm not doing that with you, all right? I believe that we're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Something bad happened. Let me ask you by a show of hands. How many of you guys ever had bad things that happened to you when you were a kid? We're all the same dadgum boat here. We don't have time to counsel you through all that stuff, do we? No, you know what let's do? Man, let's take the medicine of God's word that we're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And you know what he says? Behold, all things become new. It's like, oh my gosh. But that word behold is that it shocks us into laying hold of what's new. See, there's a lot of you that you don't ever allow any new things to happen. And I'll tell you, man, I've had to fight that recently just running the church, because we've been really good at things. But then you know what? Man, things take a turn. And it's like, let me tell you, if you don't make the turn in your life, you know what it becomes? The end of the road. Man, there's a turn up ahead. How many of you guys have the Holy Spirit in you? He's going to forearm you and forewarn you. You're coming up to a curve. Guess what? You're going to find, there's going to be signs in your life. Things are going to happen. You know what you're going to do? You're going to slow down. You're going to navigate that turn. Next thing you can do, and you know what I like to do? I like to accelerate out of a turn. Anybody like to do that? I like to excel. I like to punch the throttle a little bit coming out of that curve. Well, you know what? I believe that's spiritual in our life. Man, you come up to a turn, you don't make the turn. When there's a turn and you go straight, you hit the ditch, it's the end of the road for you. How many times in your life have you not made the turn and thought it was just the end of the road and, God, where are you? Well, no, the road just turned. Man, life gives us turns. See, and what we've got to do, we've got to be able to navigate those turns. But here's the deal. It requires spiritual maturity. And see, it's hard to measure spiritual maturity other than you can navigate the turns in life. But spiritual maturity takes time. Spiritual maturity takes effort. Spiritual maturity takes energy. You know, we've got the second mile starting this Sunday night. And you know, I believe this room's going to be full of people Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I believe Jeremy Wordman Bedell's got a word of God for you. And you know what? It's going to be amazing. And matter of fact, I'm going to look over his notes and maybe go through his notes with him before Sunday night and just look at it. Because I'll tell you, this is invaluable. Why? Because we want people to mature spiritually. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take energy. And you know what? And that's what the second mile is about. The second mile, listen, the second mile isn't a destination. It's not like, you know what? I've completed the second mile. No, the second mile is just simply, that extra effort that we do because we're Christians. That extra work, we're gonna do something extra. Man, we're not just gonna apply the little bit of garnish, but you know what? We're gonna give people more than they expect. We're gonna leave it better than it ever was before we got there. Why? Because we're second mile people. I want a second mile marriage. I want second mile children. I want a second mile career and vocation. I want a second mile church. I want second mile friends. Man, I'll tell you, I've got friends in my life, and let me tell you, this marks when God's really working in your life with your friends. If you have friends in your life that never say no. Whatever I need, whatever they need, the answer is always yes. And see, we've got to be those people. Why? Because we're second mile people. How do we get to the second mile? We got to make a decision to mature, to spiritually mature. And it's not like us buying a gym membership and then never using it. It's that we're spiritually mature. And what do we have to do? We've got to have some extra effort. Yeah, but I go to church on Sunday morning and the second mile's on Sunday night. That's inconvenient for me. Let me just tell you about Christianity just for a second. A little sidebar about Christianity. If you're considering Christianity, you're going to be inconvenienced, okay? Count on it. If you're not inconvenienced, I don't think you're a Christian. If you're not inconvenienced, you're probably not going to heaven. I'm saying you, like maybe you, not judgmentally you. But listen, I believe that. If I'm always convenienced, I'm probably in sin. I'm carrying old dead dry bones around. But when I'm inconvenienced, oh my gosh. Man, that's where glory is. That's where the treasure is. That's where the second mile is. And it's just about us maturing spiritually. That's what we're going to do Sunday night. We're just going to mature spiritually. See, what's interesting is I even sense this a lot. This is different. This feels different. How many of you guys are here on Sunday mornings? How many of you guys sense that Wednesday nights are a little different than Sunday mornings? It's like a different church. Well, you know what? The second mile will be the same way. It'll be a little bit different. So you know what? It's a little bit different slant. I believe just like in our physical, our bodies, that we get to a point where we do the same exercises and the same routine. After a while, we don't get the results that we're looking for. So you have to change up the routine a little bit. Well, that's what the second mile does. And you'll say, yeah, but it's 9 months long. Yeah, what if you committed 9 months to maturing spiritually? What are you right now? Right, just if you had to write down a number between 1 and 10, where are you? If that's your spiritual maturity scale, where are you between 1 and 10? Are you a 3? Are you a 4? Are you a 7? Are you a 9? Man, I'll tell you, man. If you're a 9 and you're not planning on coming to the second mile, I question whether you're a 9 or not. Because to be a 9, you've got to have paid the price, and you know what? You know you keep paying that price. What's that price? I've got to be in the Word. I've got to be in prayer. I've got to be in church, and I've got to serve. Oh, my gosh. Well, what part of that is convenient? No part of it is. What part of that's comfortable? Really, none of it's comfortable. Man, there's other things that we can do. We're even going to throw a party after the second mile Sunday night. Man, we're going to grill burgers and hot dogs and have kickball for our kids, and we're going to have the Giants and Cowboys game. We're not going to root for either of those teams because the Eagles have already beat the Redskins that day. The Eagles, fly Eagles fly, hashtag fly Eagles fly all day. As long as press is working there and Brooklyn's living there. You guys know Brooklyn's here and Sandy's here tonight. But our faith is determined by what we really believe. I believe this stage is going to hold me up, so I'll stand on it. If it was all wobbly, and I'd be preaching out. You're sitting in a chair because you believe it. You're trusting because you believe that it'll hold your weight. But I'm going to close with this one statement. Hopefully it's going to be on the board, on the screen. But most people never even allowed themselves to consider what the best might actually be. Man, God's given us a future and a hope. 1 Corinthians 2 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. See why we have to mature? And I've been doing this a long time, and I've still got to be in the Word. I've still got to be in prayer. Man, I talked to Pastor Jeff Perry for 20 minutes today, and we prayed for 18 of the 20 minutes just on the phone together. Just prayed. We have wisdom about what we're going to do down in Houston. Man, I had a pastor friend from Humble, Texas, called me today and said, I'm meeting with the mayors of Humble and Houston both, and we're going to supply thousands of people as manpower, and we're believing they're going to give us millions of dollars to resource it. Man, I stood in agreement. I believe God for favor for him. I say that to you to believe God for favor. Man, that's what's going to make a difference when the local church gets involved. Yet, not the wisdom of this age. It's not the wisdom that the world carries, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Do you understand? Look at verse 6. Go back to verse 6. Verse 6 says, the ruler of this world, their wisdom is coming to nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. See, we're speaking this, but man, it's a mystery to people. So you know what? We've got to rightly divide it. We've got to break it down, which none of the rulers this age knew. For had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it's written, listen to this, and this is how we're going to leave today. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who simply love him. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered. You can't imagine what God has for you. So now we go back to that statement. The last statement that I made is, how many of you are living your best life? How many are you living that life that you couldn't imagine? I'll tell you, Sandy, I believe we swerve in it once in a while, huh? I believe we come into that place sometimes where it's like, I never thought it'd be this good. You know, we our family shot some video today for some services that are coming up, and I'm in shock. I'm just sitting there looking at my kids talk about Jesus and talk about God and his promise and talk about the Word and talk about this church. Talk about you guys. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I never knew it'd be this good. Everybody smile. Not like your Baptist, that big old toothy grin. Just a regular friendly smile. Remember, anybody ever used to eat mushrooms and your cheeks get, my cheeks get sore. We used to eat a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and our cheeks get sore. And I'm thinking that's, you know what that is? That's just, and I don't mean like the mushrooms on a pizza. I mean like the kind of mushrooms where you hallucinate. But there was one time that somebody said, did you freak out when you ate mushrooms? I said, no, except for one time when the TV we were watching melted and was bubbling on the floor. They said, did that freak you out? I said, no. But the 8 or 10 guys that were in the room with me weren't freaking out. And that freaked me out, because how are they not freaking out if the TV just melted? But anyway, let's get back to Christianity now. But we got a smile on our face, and just say this with me, with your eyes open and a smile on your face. Just say this. Just say, God, I never knew it'd be this good. Now try it on your own on the count of three, okay? Just a smile on your face and just say it. 1, 2, 3. See, that's God's heart for you. Where he just sweeps you off your feet. You never knew it'd be this good. Man, I don't know. Maybe Sandy knew it'd be this good. I don't know that I did. And I remember being places. The Houstons were there where, man, we're just casting vision for what I believe God, man, 28 years ago or 27 years ago. Man, here's what I see. And man, a couple times people started crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they buying this? Because this is what I see, but it's not there yet. Sometimes we think too much, because the rulers of this age have indoctrinated how we think sometimes into worrying about stuff. And now we're going to handle things. Man, a hurricane hit the coast of Texas and just deluged Houston with water. What's going to happen? God's going to use the church, give the church the greatest opportunity we maybe have ever had in that area, and prevail. You know what I love about it? Black people and brown people and white people are rescuing each other. Nobody's fighting each other. Man, you dump 60 inches of rain on a community, there's not a whole lot of racism. God's gonna have his way, guys. And it's good and not evil, a future and a hope.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.